Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm one of your hosts, Vince McNally. Joining me this week, as to my great accord, he is every week, my brother, friend, traveling companion, Elliot McNally. Elliot, thanks for joining me. Thanks for taking this journey with me. And dare I say, we were in a heck of a town this week.
We were, Vince. And I think a heck of a town deserves a heck of an episode. Can I get an amen for that?
Preach it. Testify.
You know, one of the reasons why I think this is going to be such a great episode in a great town is because we've had the guiding hand of Rand along with us. And Rand had a hand in naming the state that we're in today.
I'm glad you brought that up, Elliot. You and I aren't necessarily strictly religious folk. We like to keep an open mind to all the different forces in this unknown universe of ours. But it would be a lie to say that we don't feel our ancestors' guiding touch along with us on our journeys.
That is true. He originally wanted to name this state Rand Island.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, it's a small state. I want a little bit of this country to myself. And he actually spelled it Rand I Land, like I-land, as in it was his. But, you know, the All-American Society, the secret cartographical society to which he belonged, put an end to that. And they said, no, if you're going to have your own state, we're going to have a little piece of that, too. So what they did was create an acronym of all their names. So it became Rhode Island. It was Rand, Hubert, Ortolan, Devon, and E-Dog. And they all thought E-Dog was the coolest because he had gotten rollerblades for Christmas that year.
He'd gotten rollerblades for Christmas. Now, this is, of course, in the 1700s, so it was a pretty prototypical version of the rollerblade.
He was pretty ahead of its time, and that's why they really looked up to E-Dog. And that's why Rhode Island became the progressive, amazing place that it is today, and the place that we are today. I think we should put on the map.
That's a great idea, Elliot. Let's get to it.
The listeners, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps, the original version, the steel-plated version. Maybe you have the woven tapestry version. The verdict is still out on the spice paper version. You know, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately, Vince.
Last we heard, the Geneva Convention had written in a clause forbidding the trade of spice paper in any incorporated country across this globe. Apparently, a lot of human rights violations go into the harvesting of that particular source of parchment.
Yeah, we've had our publisher Xander on the case for quite some time. He will deny this if you ask him, but in our hearts, he is still fighting hard for the spice paper version of the map. Again, whatever map you have, put it on the wall, take out a pin, and get ready to stick a pin in the town of Lake Church, Rhode Island. But before we do, we have to introduce a guest to help us out. So Lake Church is a town with no lakes or churches. And to help us talk about this, we have a missionary from the Church of Scientology who makes his home in Lake Church, Rhode Island. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi. How are you? I'm Thomas Duckworth.
Hi, Thomas. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
No, we are the appreciative ones, Mr. Duckworth.
We're all the appreciative ones.
You know, we would appreciate if you picked a pin out of our pin barrel and stuck a pin in Lake Church, Rhode Island.
Okie dokie. Let me go ahead and do that. Get it out there. Okay. All right.
And there it is.
Wow. This is fun.
We have so much fun in this segment. We love sticking pins and maps. We also love talking about the people and the towns that we had the pleasure of meeting. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why a Scientology missionary would make his home in a town with no lakes or churches.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, again, my name is Thomas Duckworth. I just say it a couple times, you know what I mean? Get it out there. I'm not originally from the East Coast. I'm from a small town in Illinois called Galesburg, Illinois. And just, do you want a whole background, like when I was a young man, or how do you want
this? Maybe jump in when you came to Lake Church and why you came.
Okay, all right, I'll do that. But then just remember that there'll be major gaps in the story.
Well, so we have the Galesburg part. I mean, we could probably fast forward through your adolescence and all that.
Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't going to go to my adolescence. Of course. Very good. Very good. Anyway, you don't get to choose where you go. You hear a ping one day, and then the great one sends you to the town that you're supposed to go to. So 4 truck rides and a motor scooter ride later, I was in Rhode Island.
Were there no flights from Galesburg to Rhode Island?
Oh. You didn't let me fill in the gaps. I didn't live in Galesburg my whole life, of course. Oh, I spent a good chunk of time in Reno, Nevada, where I was a blackjack dealer.
Oh, that's interesting. So,
right.
was the switch to missionary work, reflective of this life in Las Vegas and blackjack dealing?
Yeah, yes, it was. One day I walked out of the Little Nugget Casino. After a night of seeing many people lose their fortunes, and a spaceship flew over my head. Don't laugh, please. This is serious. A spaceship flew over my head, shined a light on me, and said, "Hey, buddy," that's a direct quote, "Hey, buddy, you're a missionary now." And I was like, "A missionary for what?" And then the spaceship said, "No sass back." And I was like, "My mistake." And it said, "You are now a missionary for Scientology. Go to Rhode Island." And I was like, "Well, should I take a flight?" And the spaceship was like, "Hey, buddy, no flights. Get there the hard way." And it all just made sense from there.
Wow. So for commanding you to take bus rides and a motor scooter ride, it didn't seem like the spaceship really was your buddy.
No, not at all. Not at all. You shouldn't always view religion as a buddy.
More of a guiding hand.
A forcing hand. A sharp push. A hard push towards the life that maybe you don't necessarily want. It's like Michael Jordan. There's a good chance he didn't want to play basketball, but he had to because he was good at it. Maybe he did want to play basketball. I don't know. But do you see what I'm saying?
It makes perfect sense to me, Mr. Duckworth. So I'd like to pick it up now once you arrive in Lake Church. What sort of things do you do to spread the good word of your religion?
Ah, I'm glad you asked. I have a radio show. It's a call-in show. It's not all religion. They really don't want me to talk about a lot. It's a agriculture report. During certain parts of the agriculture report, I'll say things like Scientology meeting, 8 p.m. at the high school gym. Also, the cows look good today.
It's pretty subliminally stuck in there.
Yeah,
it's subtle.
People have come to me. Well, I don't know how subtle it is. Now that people have gotten to know me, they're like, oh, they want to find out what's going on with the agriculture and the livestock, and maybe I'll hear more about the meeting. Also, we have a Facebook group page.
But it must be challenging, you know, being a missionary of any religion in a place with no churches.
It's really difficult. But that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. But Applebee's has a nice back room. Have you ever seen the back room at an Applebee's?
I can't say that I've had the pleasure, no.
It's usually filled with the posters that don't make the front room. So you know how you see the high school like team like winning and giving each other high fives?
Yeah.
So of course, obviously. The back room is like the posters with like the choir club holding 6th place conference ribbons.
Or failed Applebee's menu items, maybe.
Yes, there's a lot of those. So I'm glad you brought that up. But you can get those. They still will make them for you. Did you know that?
Do you have a favorite one in Lake Church?
Oh, boy. Do I? It's the duck quesadilla.
I can see why you'd like that.
It's delicious, because duck has just the right amount of fat.
I hear it. I hear that's true. I hear it cooks down very well. This is fascinating. What is day-to-day life like in Lake Church? What's the town like?
The town? Well, the town is filled with a lot of CrossFitters. No, not all. I don't want to make it seem like everybody is a CrossFitter, but at least 2 out of every 5. So that's a pretty good percentage.
That is sizable.
That's a good chunk.
Yeah, so everybody, a lot of 2 out of 5 residents of the town get up pretty early to get their workout of the day in. The rest of us are lawyers and doctors and shopkeeps. And they get up around.
Are you the only missionary in town?
Yes, I am. You know, it's not a huge town. It wouldn't make sense to send a bunch of missionaries.
Can't argue with that logic. I am so excited to tear back the layers on what is shaping up to be an interesting, fascinating, and even mysterious town. I think we should jump into that in our first segment, Elliot.
Let's do it.
I agree with both of you. Let's get to
all monikers. Just really quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think there should be more missionaries?
You know, we like to fancy ourselves as anthropologists. We don't like to make judgment calls based on the towns that we're in. We're just observers. And
all right, I just want to make sure I'm doing the best job I can. So if you think I need more missionaries, I have a button. I could push a button and the spaceship will come and they can help me out.
So the spaceship wouldn't really pick them up. It would just more direct them to several bus routes.
They find someone on the west coast. Say, hey, buddy, one of your buddies that you haven't met yet needs some help. Get me to Rhode Island. I feel like I set this on a sidebar, and I'm really sorry about
that. Never apologize. You're just trying to do the best job that you can. That is an ideal and a principle that Elliot and myself can really relate to. But I'm excited to hear more about this town, Elliot.
I am as well, Vince, and we should do that in our first segment called Hall Monikers.
Hall Monikers is our segment in which my brother and I try to do one of the simplest things you can do when you get to a town, figure out why it's called what it is. But it turns out it's not always that simple.
We crack this segment out rarely out of our segment binder. But we do it when there's a particularly interesting town name and backstory.
And we literally have to crack it out of our binder. Our binder has a thick candy shell.
And this segment is usually stuck to one of the other segments. You know, it's a big process taking it out.
But it's worth it because I'm especially excited because let's just address the elephant in the room. We've got sort of an oxymoronical name for the town that we're staying in. Lake Church, no lakes, no churches. As someone who's been in the town a long time, Mr. Duckworth, you have to have some insight as to why it's actually called what it's called.
Oh, sure. Well, the town motto, I don't know if you know the town motto, do you?
No, I'm not familiar.
It's reach for that which you do not have.
Huh, so that's pretty inspiring.
That's right. So when the town founders came to found this town, they were people who did enjoy voting. But they didn't want to have it so that it was easy to do. You see what I'm saying? So they founded a town that was pretty landlocked. And they were like, you know, what will always make us strive to our ideal? What will always make us want to be the best we could be? Ah, let's put a lake. Let's put a lake in our town name. You see where I'm going with that?
So they were naming it more in tune with their goals, what they were striving to
achieve. Boy, that's a great way to put it. And the town founder's name was Richard Ellensby. He was an atheist. And I'm talking like one of those atheists that really let you know about it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those guys.
Oh, I think we've all been around
those.
You
go to a party and you're like, hey, is that jalapenos on that pizza? And then he's like, I'm an atheist. And you're like, why would you even bring that up? I mean, it's fine that you are, but we weren't even talking about that. Do you prefer the Rolling Stones or the Beatles? I'm an atheist. You know, one of those guys.
I'm reminded of an anecdote from the days of our founding fathers where Richard Ellensby snuck into the first mint in Philadelphia. And on the dollar bill where it reads, In God We Trust, he wrote in red pen on the mint, not.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I'm so glad I didn't have to tell that story. It's nice to be working with people who know a little bit about the backstory.
Hey, that's us.
Anyway.
Mr. Duckworth.
he named it Lake Church, and every time he'd say, welcome, he'd wink after he said the name.
Is that a requirement still to this day that you have to wink?
You bet it is, buddy.
It's times like these when I regret that we're not a television program, Elliot, because the winking on the part of our guest has been a fervent and gesticulative display of winking prowess. It's some of the finest winking I've ever seen.
I thought you had something in your eye at first, but now this clears up.
Everyone assumes everyone in Lake Church has lots of allergies, but they don't. They're just winking. So you can see why I was sent here.
Well, and something else I want to bring up, you know, it's definitely seems to be a challenge to be a missionary in a town with no churches, but I've also heard that you're a champion water ski instructor, and so that must be a challenge to do that in a town with no lakes.
It's really hard.
Do you give any advice for that on your radio show, water ski advice?
Well, I don't give advice on the radio show, but I do teach a class. So I have a pickup truck. Ford F-150.
Fine truck.
Yes, it is a good truck. I don't want to advertise it in case your sponsors are Chevy.
No, they're not. We like Fords, and actually, listeners, if you go on thesepartspodcast.com, you'll find a coupon for a brand new Ford F-150 model car.
My gosh, that's amazing. So anyway, where was I? Oh, I have my Ford F-150, and I bought some rope at Menards. I left a pause there in case there was a coupon for Menards. It must not be.
Oh, I don't think we were able. Vince, was Xander able to pull that together for us?
No. Talks with the Menards people fell through last week.
No problem.
Bummer.
Hey, it happens. Keep your chin up, kid. The only way to stay above water is to keep the chin up.
There's some of that water skiing advice.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going with this. Anyway.
So you've got your truck, you've got your rope.
Right. And I found two hoodlums who were skateboarding about a year ago. I found it frustrating, so I took their skateboards, I took the wheels off the skateboards, and now I have some water ski boards. And I drive the truck around, and I let people hang out on the back on the skateboards without wheels. And I just drive them around, and I give them advice like, stay on, keep staying on, good job staying on. See, the problem there was, you didn't stay on. I don't like to give a lot of specific advice. You know, in life, the main goal is stay alive.
I'm seeing a lot of overlap between water ski instructing and missionary.
Oh, boy, you said
just kind of stay on, you know, don't fall off. Keep on the right track.
I always say that to recent converts. Sometimes they're like, what? Hold on a second. Aliens? Spaceships? A planet made out entirely out of pyramids? I'm out of here. And then I'll just look at them and I'll smile and I'll say, stay on. Stay on. And usually they do.
Wow. Such is the power of an idea believed in, my friends. That's a pretty interesting insight into the genesis of the name Lake Church. What I'm curious about, is there any sort of movement or lobby to bring lakes and or churches to this town?
Yes. Well, the only church we're going to be bringing into this town is a Church of Scientology.
That makes sense.
That's reasonable.
If you're the only missionary here.
Right. So I'm raising a Kickstarter for a lot of crystals. A lot of crystals. More crystals.
Are the crystals to construct the church?
No, the crystals are the church. So it'd be walls of crystals. And then, honestly, anything you want on the interior is fine. It's more of an exterior kind of thing. So, a Kickstarter for a lot of crystals. Again, way more crystals than you'd think.
So, you got the crystals, and then inside you can kind of Craigslist couches and other stuff like that.
Big time. And we prefer the type of furniture that's also storage.
Oh, yeah, like the IKEA stuff, the beds that you can put stuff in. Yeah, that
exactly.
Makes sense.
A lot of people think Scientology is real pie in the sky, real goofball stuff. But if you've ever been into a Church of Scientology, wow. That's organized.
Well, I think that's chapter 3 in L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics, right? It's just practical storage.
Yeah, practical storage.
Applications.
Keep it organized, buddy. That's what he says that a lot.
Was he the guy on the spaceship?
I think he might have been. I've always wondered that. It's hard to say. You know, whoever was talking to me was in a spaceship, and I was on the ground.
Right. Not a great vantage point to see in.
Oh, exactly. I'm glad you said that. It's not like that spaceship had windows.
Wow. Fascinating stuff.
Are we still talking about... Oh, but we haven't talked about the lake.
Do people want to bring lakes to Lake Church?
Yeah, a few people do. But we're trying to figure that out. There's a big ditch in the middle of town that we've been digging, and now we're just hoping for a glacier to come by.
So what steps have you taken to gain research if people do or do not want lakes? I mean, I'm assuming maybe a couple survey monkeys have been set out.
There were a few survey monkeys. They were pretty inconclusive.
These are monkeys that were trained to take
That's
surveys.
Right. That's right. Exactly. They were pretty inconclusive. Do you know Judy Dunn?
Vince, do you know Judy?
I'm not familiar, no.
Maybe not surprising. Anyway, she's a real go-getter in this town. She's vice chancellor of Scientology for Lake Church, Rhode Island. So she's in the process of trying to figure out how many ice cubes you need to freeze together to form a glacier. Because if you don't let the glacier melt, then really all you're doing is putting in a pool. Because lakes are glacier-based, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're spot on.
That all checks out. Yeah, it makes sense to start at the beginning rather than, you know, cut out all the glacial movement.
Right. It's not called Palm Church.
That it isn't.
It's, you know, it's another example of reaching for that which you do not have.
Yes, exactly. This Tom motto really works.
It is. It's as aspirational as it is inspirational. And I already feel a little bit enlightened, Elliot. Not to speak too soon, but I feel like my eyes are opening. And I want to open a couple of other things here, Elliot.
I do too, Vince. We should do that in our next segment called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity as a listener to write in with your specific queries, questions, thoughts, and maybe even concerns that you have for Elliot, myself, and our prestigious guests. We have time for three that we read on air each and every week. Elliot, I think you have the first one right now.
I do. This one comes from Kelly in Lake Church, Idaho.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This is interesting.
Hold on.
Kelly says, hey, Ellie and Vince, I love the show. Not so much a fan of Lake Church, Rhode Island. She claims that the idea was stolen from Lake Church, Idaho, and they actually are a town built solely on churches and lakes.
Is that true?
Apparently. So she says, would it be possible to shut this town down to take away any confusion between Lake Church, Rhode Island and Lake Church, Idaho?
Oh, all right. Well, I have an official response from the town. Her name is Kelly, is that right?
That is correct.
Kelly, shut the fuck up and stay in Idaho. You come anywhere near Rhode Island, there's going to be trouble. I'm talking chains, I'm talking bricks, I'm talking a real hoedown of a fight. You want that, Kelly? Is that something you want? Then bring it. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Kelly, you heard it right here from the Church of Scientology.
Hard to fault a man who's passionate about the place he lives. That's something we've built our whole show on, Elliot. And to suggest a whole town of people leave just to avoid confusion, well, that's just not going to abide.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
A town built on lakes. What is this, some sort of water world town she's exactly living in? What is this fantasy town?
Say hi to Costner for us, Kelly.
Amen, brother.
Well, thanks for writing all the same, Kelly. It stirred up our fire, and that makes for good radio, as we all know.
Can I add a P.S. to my response to Kelly?
Oh, you absolutely can. All right. Please, we welcome it.
P.S. Continue to shut the fuck up. Every time you think you shouldn't shut the fuck up even harder.
Okay, hold on. I'm just transcribing what you said.
We're actually going to mail this. Now that there's a P.S., we're actually going to put this in print.
Yep, and it is postmarked, and I put this in the mailbox. Kelly, you should be getting your response in a week's time.
That might not be fast enough. Send it today.
I have to check with our publisher if we have the budget for that.
Fair enough.
Vince, do you have the next question?
I do. I'm unfurling it right here. And this comes to us from Elaine in Girard, Texas.
Ooh.
So what does Elaine have to say?
Elaine says, as a religious woman, I always am fond of towns with the Holy Spirit in their name, like the mentioned Lake Church, Rhode Island. So I'm glad y'all are there. Well, we're happy to be here too. She goes on to say, one of the most religious experiences I've ever had in my entire life is thanks to Lake Church, Rhode Island. She says it's because the well-known film Deliverance being shot and set there made her see the face of God when she watched it for the third time in a row. She goes on to ask if we could talk about the sort of spiritual and religious motifs that are present in that film.
I'd love to talk about it. I'm sure Thomas would love to talk about it. It seems like her question is a bit misguided, though.
Yes, it seems like she got some bad intel because Deliverance was not, in fact, shot or set in Rhode Island. It was in the South. It was in Georgia.
Sure, it sure wasn't in Rhode Island. I can tell you that much. I've been in that Applebee's. If it had been shot in Rhode Island, we'd have some pictures of Burt Reynolds laughing it up and having a good time, don't you think? Yes, I think
so. It stands to reason.
Was Burt Reynolds a part of the Church of Scientology, though?
At one point he was, but he refused to shave his mustache.
You guys can't have mustaches?
Only one person can have a mustache in the Church of Scientology, and that is Mr. Hubbard.
That seems, pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. Super accurate. It's as accurate as it gets, buddy.
Now, Mr. Hubbard didn't have a mustache, but he was the only one that could have one.
Didn't he have a mustache? I swear to God he had a mustache.
Are you sure you're thinking of the same L. Ron Hubbard?
Yes, L. Ron Hubbard had a mustache for sure.
Well, we'll trust the experts on this one.
Well, I guess, if you've never seen him and you didn't know if he was in a spaceship, he could have, maybe he had a mustache back then.
A lot of the pictures have him with a mustache. He's holding two ducks and three puppies, and he's outside of a Sizzler. And everyone's having a great time.
Well, this picture right here, it's him, but then a mustache looks like it's just drawn on top of the photo.
Yes, that's a famous one, too. And that's not a drawing of a mustache. That's the power of Scientology growing across his upper lip.
Kind of like an aura.
Yes. Boy, you nailed it. Like an aura.
And so is that why Burt Reynolds left? He sort of started poking holes in this?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, there was the mustache thing. Two, he was big into roller skating, like really big into it. And that's all he would talk about at the meetings. Every meeting we'd have, we'd be like, all right, let's figure out where we can find more crystals. And Bert would raise his hand and we'd be all like, oh.
Don't say roller rink, Bert.
Here we go. Don't say roller rink, Bert. And he'd always do it. And then we called him in and we were like, Bert, are you being a jerk? Or do you have a brain problem where you have to say roller rink 30 times a day? Silence. Nothing. No response whatsoever. And then he just walked out.
As far as I'm concerned, good riddance to him.
Well, he was really good at Boogie Night.
That's fair.
We can't begrudge him that.
You can't measure, people have their goods and bad.
Yes, undoubtedly true. Mr. Duckworth, do you have the third question for us here from a listener?
I do. Let me pull it up here. This is from Little Timmy Johnson. From New York City.
Thanks for writing in, Timmy.
Little Timmy Johnson asked, is it true that you're building an L. Ron Hubbard roller coaster in your town? Well, Little Timmy, I'm happy to tell you that we, in fact, are building a roller coaster. It's called the Hubbinator.
So can you describe this to us? Can you take us on a ride?
Sure, I can. It just goes straight and flat for over 200 yards. And the whole time you're thinking, what is this? Is this all that there's going to be? And then there's this really steep incline. I'm talking really steep. All right? Everyone picture an incline. 10 times steeper than that. Then you go up. And then you don't drop down immediately. There's a loop. There's 4 loops, in fact. This is all in the conceptual phase. Then you go off the track. And you fall into, wait for it, a bunch of egg yolks.
Is this still in concept, or have you guys started acquiring egg yolks?
Well, it's not that hard to find egg yolks. I really shouldn't have to describe this roller coaster to you. If you've read the last chapter of How to Be a Scientologist, you know that this is something we've been going for a really long time.
That's where I've heard this from. It sounded
that's
really
right.
Familiar.
How could you be one with what you are other than to return to the yolk?
Well, the yolk's on me, as they say.
Good one.
Good one indeed. Brother, that was not what I expected when this question began.
I, for one, cannot wait to ride that roller coaster. I mean, reading about it is one thing. Experiencing it will be an entirely different thing. Do you guys have a target date for the first ride?
June. But that's optimistic, because we don't have any of the parts.
We're on only yolks so far. We're only at a pit of yolks.
We do have the thing is, you can't, get yolks ahead of time. Or not too far ahead of time. So that's always going to be a problem. Let's just call that as it is. But we have most of the steel we need.
Oh, that sounds like the hardest part, actually.
Yes, but we only have 4 screwdrivers. And honestly, I don't even know if we need screwdrivers. We might need something bigger.
Yeah, I've never built a roller coaster before. But
I'm not an engineer.
Yeah, me neither, buddy.
It seems like, you know, while you're on Craigslist acquiring the furniture for the Scientology church, maybe you can acquire some other stuff too.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Make it more of like a don't do one item at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, probably. Maybe buy some stuff in bulk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I'm happy to see us all working together, slinging some ideas, seeing what sticks. Thanks for writing in, Timmy. Thanks for everyone who wrote in this week and every week.
Except for the first person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except for the first person, Kelly.
She could eat a giant fuck you sandwich.
Yeah, Kelly, that was really not the right tenor for the program. So hopefully message received on your end. Anyone who didn't see their questions read, check out the forums. We have a dedicated team of responders around the globe answering your emails in various languages. Not dependent on the ones you ask the question in.
It's just kind of whoever's available.
Exactly.
I have one more suggestion for Kelly. Can I throw it out there?
Yeah, we're all ears. We're all ears.
You know, I already did seal up the envelope, but maybe I could stick another one in there.
Yeah, that would be great. So, if she goes to HBO, if she doesn't have it, she should subscribe. Because there's a really good show. It's a 12-part series. It's called Go Fuck Yourself.
Well, there you have it, folks.
You heard it here, Kelly. As an act of good faith, you send us the receipt for your HBO subscription. We'll knock a couple cents off it.
Yeah, that's only fair.
That's not bad. Good idea, buddy.
You know what another good idea would be, Vince?
What's that, Elliot?
If we got to our next segment.
I love it. Let's do it.
And that's called He Said, She Said.
So, listeners, we know that you like to hear about a lot of things when it comes to the towns that we stay in. You like to hear about the history, the lore, the language. But sometimes it's fun to hear about what's on the minds and tongues of the common people. What is the gossip, the chatter, the chit-chat around a certain town's day-to-day buzz?
You know, Vince and I always like to keep our ears open, but for this segment, we like to keep our ears to the ground.
Absolutely. And who better to shed some light on what the common folk are talking about than someone who not only goes out and preaches among the people, but also has a call-in agricultural program on the radio.
And livestock,
of course. My mistake. So our question for you, Mr. Duckworth, is what are the people of Lake Church talking about these days?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's a rumor going around that the local sandwich shop has replaced their tomatoes with mini compact discs.
CDs?
Yes, that's right. I haven't gone there yet, so I don't know if it's true or not, but my friend who told me about it opened his mouth, and there were lots of cuts everywhere. Who's to say whether it's a one-time thing, or if this is a big deal?
Are you sure it was your friend telling you this, or was it just someone trying to spread a rumor?
It might be. Well, he's known as a bit of a rumor boy.
You know, it seems like you may have a little bit of trouble distinguishing between a person with or without a mustache. So, are you sure this was your friend and not someone with a mustache who looked vaguely like your friend?
Oh my god, now that you mention it, that's exactly what it was. And then he put on a top hat and walked out of... I don't think that was my friend at all.
Wow. You know, it just goes to show you can't trust anyone who's not in the faith, am I right?
Yes, I think that's absolutely right.
So, you know, this recently debunked sandwich CD caper behind us, what other, you know, topics are on the mouths of the people that live here?
Everybody here is wondering. The rumor is that Judy Stillmore is going to be the lead in Guys and Dolls.
Is this going to be just a traditional Guys and Dolls, or will there be any Scientological bent on it?
Well, it's two things. It's a one-person Guys and Dolls. We all thought Gus Furrow was going to do it. It looks like it's going to be Judy Stillmore. And I am assistant director, so I am going to get a little bit of Scientology in there. Put some Scientology mustard on it.
So I'm assuming instead of Guys and Dolls, traditionally, it will just be more of a L. Ron Hubbard biography.
If I have any say, yes. Judy Stillmore is going to be the lead. That's going to be a tough one. She is not big on the Scientology. Let's put it that way. Let's put it this way. If Judy Stillmore and I are in a Hallmark store, don't go down the same aisle. See what I'm saying?
You go down the Scientology aisle?
I just go down an aisle she's not at. if we're both at the trampoline zone at the same time, well, let's just say I wait an hour.
I read you loud and clear.
Into the gas station at the same time. I get out of my car and I walk across the street until she's gone. Then I come over and I fill up my gas.
So that brings up a good point. How many people would you say in Lake Church have you converted?
12.
That's pretty good.
Out of?
A town of 3,000. You do the math, buddy.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
It's really rolling now. I think we're going to be up to 50 soon.
What kind of topics are buzzed about in your congregation then?
Well, there's a couple of things. Is Rhode Island going to get a baseball team? I've got to hush that one down every once in a while. Because I mean, we've got enough baseball teams. Rhode Island doesn't need a baseball team. Are you kidding me?
What, so is there some sort of Scientology commandment or something against baseball?
Well, we like baseball. But here's the thing. Have you ever heard the phrase, we got enough?
I guess.
Well, of course you have, because it's a big Scientology tenet. If you're ever at the grocery store and you buy a bag of cookies, you've probably said to yourself, I got enough. You don't buy another one. Big Scientology tenet.
So you're saying we've got enough baseball teams in the U.S.
Right. Exactly. Right.
What about the people who are lobbying for a baseball team? You know, what do they want the team to be and why do they want it?
They want to call themselves the Lakes.
The Lake Church Lakes.
Yeah, the Lake Church Lakes. What is that's dumb.
That sounds like Kelly came up with that one.
Oh, boy. Probably.
It's always so fascinating to hear about what the people of the towns we're in think is interesting, fascinating, important. What's got them talking? Elliot, did you catch any whiffs or whispers on your walks about town?
Yeah, I did. It seems like at least the 12 Scientologists are always pretty keen on the fact that some sort of spaceship is always on the way here.
Right, exactly.
And, I mean, to your point, Thomas, maybe that's true. Maybe some more missionaries will be on their way. But have the other people in Lake Church ever witnessed a spaceship outside of your Scientology converts?
Oh, sure. The spaceship's not a thing that happens every once in a while. The spaceship shows up all the time, you guys. It's great. We just had a singles mixer the other day. It was really fun, and everybody was having a great time, but nobody was, like, agreeing to go on dates. There was a lot of handshakes and friends. Mm-hmm. The spaceship showed up. It was like, hey, buddies, what is this, a friend get-together or a singles mixer, am I right? And the spaceship lowered the lights and put on some sexy music, and now we have, out of the 12 congregants, they're all dating. We have 6 couples.
That's crazy. And, you know, I'm still unclear if the spaceship is a vehicle or an actual being.
Spaceship is both. Spaceship is a spaceship that has beings in it, but it's also a being. Picture a whale. Are you?
Yes, no, yes, vividly. Yes.
Picture a whale, and then those things that are attached to whales. There you go, buddies. That's a spaceship for you.
Suddenly, it's also clear now.
You know, I think I might want to talk to you a little bit more about this after the show.
That'd be great. Spaceship does host an open mic in town.
Spoken word poetry, correct?
Yes, a lot of spoken word poetry. That's it. I don't have much more to add to that.
Well, it sounds like that's something that we should definitely check out.
Of course you should. You know a lot of other open mics that are hosted by a spaceship?
Not many. Not many, Mr. Duckworth.
Get on the bus to Funtown, boys.
That sounds like a great metaphor for getting on to our next segment. So, Vince, should we get on the bus to Funtown?
I say next stop, did you know?
So, listeners, this is our rapid-fire, fast-paced fact segment. We have a bunch of facts for you, or approximately 5, or exactly 5 facts for you that are easily shareable, snackable, and digestible. We know you don't have time to listen to a whole episode, so these are the most pertinent facts, the ones we love the most. And Vince, I think you have the first one.
I have it right in front of me here.
Again, why did you write these facts down?
Elliot, you know that I have performance amnesia.
That's true. It's been something that we've been trying to work through for quite some time.
And you know, after so much time dealing with this condition, you know, it doesn't really negatively impact my life too frequently. But just because I have a note card with my little fast fact on it doesn't mean you have to point out my insecurities each and every week.
Okay, that's fair enough. So what does your note card say?
Elliot and Mr. Duckworth, did you know that the people in Lake Church, Rhode Island, have a very specific and interesting courting ritual?
So what is that?
Well, if you're a young man and you're trying to win the affections of a young woman, there's a sort of a display, much like an exotic bird that you do, and it's done by intertwining your own hands, then reversing your arm position, and then wiggling your fingers and singing a tune. Many of you will be familiar with a type of this ritual. It's called "Here's the Church, Here's the Steeple."
So Thomas, have you ever witnessed this or done this?
Oh yeah, I've witnessed it a bunch. I haven't personally done it because I'm married to spaceship.
Oh, you guys are married now?
All missionaries are married to spaceship.
I see.
It's not sexual.
It's sort of just like a big love scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not even love. It's just saying, hey, I ain't got time for that. I'm married to spaceship and my job. But I have witnessed it. It's amazing. We actually have a big church and steeple festival every August. There's apples, dancing, and then what you just described.
But no physical churches or physical steeples yet.
Nope, just a lot of winking.
Well, that's fascinating. Vince, I didn't know that. But did you guys know that couches in Lake Church, Rhode Island are notoriously uncomfortable?
Elliot, I did actually experience this, but I thought it might be a one-couch sort of scenario.
No, it's every couch, and that's because by decree of Scientology, Tom Cruise has to come and jump on every single couch before it is purchased. And so it makes these couches very lumpy and very hard to sit on.
Very true. That's absolutely correct.
Have you ever witnessed some of this couch stomping in person?
I'm a missionary for the Church of Scientology. Of course I have.
Can you do it, or can only Tom Cruise do it?
Only Tom Cruise could do it. Or, no, that's not entirely true. My mistake. He can send you shoes with poles in them, and then you can do it. But that's not as fun as seeing Big Tommy C. That's what we all call him, Big Tommy C. Come in and do his jumping magic.
No, I imagine it's not. Wow, I didn't know that. Do you have a did you know for us, Mr. Duckworth?
Did you know that all buildings in my town can only be 50 feet tall? No taller than that?
I didn't know that.
So why is that?
We have birds in Rhode Island that are notoriously not great flyers. So the buildings have to be pretty low. See what I'm saying? Because these birds can't get up real high.
But how tall are you planning on making your crystal palace?
Well, 50 feet.
Oh, so some birds are going to meet their end to that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
Small sacrifice.
If you read the second to last chapter in the Scientology book, it says birds are no matter. Birds are of no concern. Yeah. The only thing that should fly is spaceship.
L. Ron Hubbard notoriously did hate birds.
Boy, you said it. That's an understatement.
Who among us doesn't, though, Elliot? Did you know there's a pretty strong contingency of floss, mint, and other dental hygiene salespersons here in Lake Church, Rhode Island?
I didn't know that.
Well, it's true. You can't throw a stone without hitting someone who's hawking floss on the corner.
I know why.
Well, please, because I was trying to figure out why it was. I just knew that it was.
Oh, it's because we have a lot of floss bushes.
So floss grows naturally here in Lake Church.
That's right. So it only makes sense that we'd have people who sell those things, because ours are the freshest and strongest.
Who discovered that floss grew naturally in Lake Church, Rhode Island?
Well, you're never going to believe this. So I'm a little nervous to even bring it up. But I'm gonna right now. Are you ready? Susan B. Anthony.
Susan B. Anthony? The women's suffrage activist?
That's right. She was here on a trip, just having a good time. She's like, this bush looks weird. We all agreed. Then we looked and we saw there were a ton of bushes. And we were like, Susan B. Anthony, I think you might have discovered a new kind of bush. And she was like, I think you're right. And she's like, well, I gotta go.
She was an amateur botanist. That's well known.
That's right.
Is that why? Is that one of the accolades that wound her up on that half dollar?
Yes, it is. Nobody brings it up. Because, and rightfully so, because the woman's vote thing is much more important.
Arguably.
I don't know. I think that is probably more important. But she did discover the floss bush. That's not bad.
Well, I didn't know that. But did you guys know that although mustaches are apparently forbidden besides anyone in Lake Church besides L. Ron Hubbard, the people of Lake Church have a different favorite facial hair?
I didn't know this, Elliot. What facial hair are you speaking of?
So anyone who is not a part of the Church of Scientology in Lake Church, Rhode Island, has sideburns. And that is because, of course, General Ambrose Burnside was from Rhode Island. So Rhode Island, their state-mandated facial hair is the sideburn.
Does the Church of Scientology condone sideburns?
We don't like it. Find it kind of frustrating, but what are you going to do? So there's a bunch of people with a bunch of sideburns, and we always just say under our breath, what is this, the 1970s? What are you, hippies? But people don't care. You know, sideburns are where it's at, according to some people in this town.
Well, not according to Scientology, and not according to L. Ron Hubbard, because there was a chapter in Dianetics all about how mustaches are better than sideburns.
Big time. You know what we call sideburns? Scientology, vertical stupid mustaches.
Wow, it's an evocative name, and I gotta say, pretty accurate as well.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, nice vertical stupid mustaches, jerk.
So, would you say that an almost rite of passage into the Church of Scientology is shaving your sideburns and then possibly being able to grow a mustache, but not actually fulfilling that?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Know what you're capable of. We have all of our members grow sideburns, then they go out into the woods with a razor, and they scream, be gone, be gone, be gone, 3 times, then Spaceship comes and shaves it for them.
That is probably the most enlightening thing I've ever heard.
My eyes are open, my facial hair is standing up with anticipation. I think I'm about to go shave, Elliot, but before we do, first, let's thank Mr. Duckworth for his time on the show. We know you're a busy man, so it means a lot to us that you were able to take the time and talk to us.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And before we go, as a thanks to you also, the listener, we have a little segment we like to do.
And that's called Wish You Were Here.
So in a perfect world, listeners, you would join us in each and every one of our travels and travails. But that's not the case. There's not that much room in the RV. So instead, we send you an audio postcard at the end of every one of our visits. It goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Lake Church, Rhode Island.
It's a town with no lakes or churches, but home to missionary of Scientology, Thomas Duckworth.
It's a town where the courtship rituals are strange, the facial hair situation is murky, but the faith and the resolve of the people is radiant.
A town that has no regard for birds or for lakes, but they're going to build the best roller coaster and the best crystal palace out of any town in the United States.
A town where, if your ears open, you might just hear a spaceship telling you to follow its dreams.
And a town where you should always be reaching and striving for more.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks for joining us in Lake Church, Rhode Island. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you stick with us next week when we're in North Dakota.
The town we're in doesn't have a name, but they actually forgot to fill out the name field in their application to the U.S. Department of the Treasury, and it turns out it's legally binding. So although it's pretty confusing, it should be a good one.